Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is coming soon. His return is very soon. His return is imminent. He woke me up the other day when I woke up early in the morning. He said, the first thing he said was, my return is imminent. Tell my people to be ready. Because he wants all of his people to go with him. Sometimes people wander off into the lukewarm society. They start living a lukewarm life, a life that God can't sanction. And he's coming back for those who are holy, those who do the right thing because it's right. People that walk in love. He's coming back for the hot church, not the cold church. He's not coming back for cold religion, even though it's infested much of the church. He's coming back for those who love him from the heart, who love people from the heart. In 1 John, it teaches that the way we love God is the way we love each other, the way we love man. And we need to focus on him, on doing his word, obeying him, trusting him, taking him at his word. That's the life that God can sanction. That's the Lord. That's the kind of life that the Lord will come back for. See, the rapture is a blessing. But those who are living a lukewarm life, they will not go in the rapture. In Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 5, it warns us against the works of the flesh. And then it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I like, you know, sometimes people, the people in the body of Christ, many Christians have focus on not doing wrong. That's because they love God and they don't want to do wrong. But when we try to focus on not doing wrong, sometimes people fear that they will do wrong. And I've talked about my experiences of how the Lord helped me to deal with problems by first, by walking in love, and also by not fearing. And the things that I've learned, I'm going to share. Because walking in love is the key. See, the fruits of the Spirit, the brand new Spirit man, he wants to do the right thing. And you know that the Holy Spirit is holy. And when we look to him, we want to do the things of God. It says, this is Galatians 5 and 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Those things are easily put away as we fill our heart with God's word. See, I like simple. I like doing it the easy way. The easy way is to receive God's word. When you receive God's word, you receive his wisdom. There's strength in God's word. There's counsel in the word of God. See, all of the word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And all of the word of God is, if the word of God originated from the Holy Spirit, and it is, there are seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 11, you know, we've covered this before, but there's nothing wrong with the word of God. Listening to it again and again. Hearing it as the Holy Spirit gives insight. A strength comes with hearing the word of God. Because every scripture, all the counsel of the Holy Spirit, is given according to the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." That's one. That's the Holy Spirit. "And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." He's going to set order by the word of God, according to the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Saint John chapter 1, we learn something else about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this is also true. Now remember, he became flesh and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And John saw the Holy Spirit rest upon him in the form of a dove. But St. John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And it goes on to explain that the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God, is Jesus Christ. He's the spoken Word of God, and he became flesh. And then he received the Holy Spirit, and he operated and was governed by the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So the Word itself includes the counsel of the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. So if we walk in the love of God according to the Word of God, which is the knowledge of love, see, the Word of God is the knowledge of love. It's the standard of love. It's the way we govern. It's the counsel of love. The knowledge of love. There's no law. Not at all. Not only will you not want to, when you're tempted, that's an outsource. That's something external. Temptations come from the outside, not within. But a sinner, temptation, they can tempt others, because temptation is in them. Sin is in them. But we were washed in the blood of Jesus and renewed. Our spirit man is brand new. We have new intentions, new motives, a new spirit, and we want to do the right thing. The fruits of the Spirit are within. And the Holy Spirit, there's the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're complete in Jesus Christ. He did the work that made us complete. I love him. I thank him for it. Now, Paul is talking to Christians, and he's talking about how the chapter 5 helps us to stay out of trouble. And he shows us how things work to hinder us. A man is drawn away and enticed. When he's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed and captured. If he starts looking to the world, trusting the world's form of pleasure. The love of God will help you destroy all that. Your mind must be renewed. If we fill our heart with the word of God, then it's easy for us to renew. Our minds will also be renewed as we dedicate ourselves to doing the works of God. And God loves us, and you can understand and know that. And you don't have to have a question mark of whether God loves me or not. And then some people, they focus on performance. Well, I don't do this just right, and I don't do that just right. God loves you for you. He's not looking at how often you do this or that. How many times you go to church, miss church, pray, forget to pray. Now, he knows how many times you do that, but that doesn't change his love towards you. And the more you love people who operate contrarily and throughout their life, you see the wisdom and you understand that God loves you too. And now, God requires, his love doesn't require dedication. He loves you no matter how dedicated you are. Even the people that went to hell, he loved them too. They rejected God and his counsel. And they chose the world over God, and that was their demise. But he loved them. But before they went, he did all he could do to help them out. One scripture said that he sent all the prophets to Israel to warn them, and they rejected it. Men get that way. And the world the world loves the world. And people who begin to love the world, just like in the last broadcast, we talked about how they simultaneously become the enemy of God because they love this world. Now, in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul says he's explaining how sin forms and how it operates. I'm going to start at verse 1. I know I started down at verse 22, but let's go back because it's so rich. This is Paul talking. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You were made free from it, but don't go back to it again. You know it's bad." Verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you. Christ shall profit you nothing." By this he means if you believe that circumcision is making you righteous, then Christ dying for you profited you nothing. Circumcision can't help you go to heaven. It was just an act of faith, a symbol of things to come. It represents a circumcised heart, a heart that's dedicated to the love and counsel of God. A heart that's determined to seek God and obey him. But any act that you can do can't qualify you before God. There's nothing you can do that can make you righteous in God's eyes except believing on what Jesus did. That's what he's saying in verse 2. He said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, if you were already circumcised, and if the doctor circumcised, that's not what he's talking about. But if you're trusting your circumcision to be righteous, then Christ profits you nothing. And this was a problem back in the day that he wrote it. All right, verse 3. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." He's looking at his performance, what I can do. We can't do anything that can make us righteous. The only thing that makes us righteous is receiving salvation by Jesus Christ and believing that what he did, his works, made us righteous. That's why we're righteous. And now he blessed us to be righteous We need to value being righteous. If you value being righteous, turn your back against the world. Turn your back to the world. Be a turncoat to the world and never go back to it. Never decide to operate in lust. Never decide to be greedy, to be envious. Never decide to murder, to kill, to slander, to hate. Never decide to do those works of the flesh. Again, ever. God rescued you from that. Not to go back to it. Not to decide to operate in it. Now, there was a time I decided, I said, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to lust after women. Or I don't want to be an angry person. And whatever was a struggle to me, I said, Lord, I don't know how to shake it. How do I do it? And he taught me to love his people. I said, huh, that makes sense. So all the women that would flirt, I would love them like God loved them. I would confess that I love them. Just like I would confess when I needed to forgive people, then and I was very angry with them, I would confess, I would tell Satan, I forgive him. And then I'd pray for him in his face. I'd say, hey, Satan, I'm going to pray for him. And I meant it too. I said, Lord, I want you to bless them, save them, help them feel bad about whatever they did. Bless them to go forward in you and enjoy your love. I knew it made Satan mad, and I knew that it was right. And then I saw the wisdom in it. Now, when I first did it, I did it in obedience. Sometimes I forgave people because God said, do it. And then as I saw the wisdom in it, I was more fervent about it. So I learned to love first. Then when the temptations came, the enemy was trying to route me another way. He was trying to get me into the world another way. And I said, this is not of God. This is strange. This is not normal. And I knew it was satanic. And I knew if I failed, he'd kill me. I knew if I fell for his trap, I'd be trapped and I'd become miserable. And then while I'm in the world, he'll kill me. But that's not why I fought it. I fought it because I love God and I want my life to represent him and him only. And I used to listen to Charles Capps teach on confessions. And we all need to listen to that. God sent that man to teach about confessions. And everybody need to get his teachings on confessions. You can Google him and listen to what I listened to back in the 80s. And this is when I learned it. But one way I always defeated Satan was the words of my mouth. I always spoke the word of God. Whatever I wanted. I didn't feel it. It didn't seem like it would ever happen. But I spoke it by faith, and that made the difference. I would speak that I love God's people. And I hate every form of lust. And it didn't seem real when I said it, but I said it again. I hate lust. I hate pride. I hate anger. And I love to forgive. And then as I practiced those things, I saw the wisdom in it, just like we talked about in the last broadcast. When you operate in God's word, you learn more about it, and you measure it bigger and bigger and bigger. And life gets easier and better. And it opens the door for you to learn greater wisdom every time. So this is how these are the things that I learned. Now, so the things of the flesh can't help us. Our personal efforts to do right, that doesn't make us righteous. Our best efforts to do the right thing can't make us righteous either. Only the blood of Jesus did something about our sin. All right, verse 4. Christ became of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law. I'm reading that again for clarity. Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. So that means it's possible to fall from grace. If you start working for salvation instead of operating in salvation, you've fallen from grace. If you trust to do things to make yourself righteous, That's a fall from grace. You have to understand your love walk, your righteousness is of Jesus Christ. He paid the cost for you to be free from sin. His blood washed it away. You just got to believe it. He washed everybody's sin away. Everybody. Every man born. Everybody. All of them. But people like Hitler, he didn't receive it. He rejected it. He trusted the devil instead of Jesus. He threw away his future and went to hell. So did others. Many entertainers, they went to hell. People have seen Michael Jackson down there and others that didn't make it. They trusted the world. They loved the world and wouldn't stop. They got tied up in the world. And whenever the Lord sent people to them, they rejected the counsel of God. They rejected the wisdom of God, the knowledge, all seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they rejected. And people like that attract people. People wrote them letters trying to get them saved. Rejected it, threw it in the garbage. Friends, preachers, when they crossed their path, sometimes they made people feel uneasy about telling them about Jesus. The demons on their life was afraid. And they thought they were on top of the world. And now they're not. Now, some people say, well, I don't believe the YouTube reports about Michael Jackson here. It doesn't matter. If you go to heaven and he's not there, you know it was true. The truth is, anybody who take Jesus at his word and receive salvation, they go to heaven. And everybody who trusted something else didn't go. Now, on the other side, everything will be known for what it is. There are no more ways you can mask anything. The mask is going to come off in eternity. When you die, after this life is over with, everybody will be known for what they did. The man that killed JFK, he's going to be known for it. Everybody involved, whoever helped him plot it out. See, in heaven, there are no secrets. There are none. Whatever you did, it can be exposed. Everything you did is recorded. There are no secrets. Now, verse 4. Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Even though we're saved, the hope, there's more that we're going to receive. We have a renewed spirit, a brand new spirit right now, but we're going to get a brand new body as well. And when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. Our mind will be like his. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So the faith of salvation, it works by your love. Without love, it doesn't even work. According to verse 6. Verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you. See, Jews were going out trying to pervert the Galatians and other people as well. Paul had to write the same kind of letter to almost every church, warning them against people that would turn their heart from Jesus Christ and try to make them trust the law and go to hell. Now, they didn't think they were going to hell, but the enemy used them because their focus was wrong. They didn't trust Jesus. And they went around trying to tell people the wrong thing. And at the same time, the Lord was working miracles in their life. He was blessing them, filling them with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will warn them that the people were coming and they leave. They avoided them. But some people didn't, it didn't always work that way. Now, Paul, in verse 7, he said, you did run well. They were doing great. They were enjoying the Lord. And then he said, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. So it had that kind of persuasion don't come from God to get you to trust things of the earth, the laws and rules. Verse 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's how sin enters. It enters the ear. And you start, if you don't cast it out, it'll start swelling in you. And you have to use the word to drive it back out. That's why we need to hear the word often. The more we hear it, the bigger God gets in our eyes. And then the more we hear it, the bigger we get in our eyes. Pastor asked the question one time, do you believe that everything is possible with God? Half the church, most of the people raised their hand, almost everybody. And then he said, is everything possible with you? And hardly nobody raised their hand. Now, if we believe the scripture that in Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that man's hand should have went up. And when I understood the question, I always raised my hand. The first time I didn't catch the question right. But everything is possible with me as I believe on Jesus Christ. And so it is with everybody. If you can believe him, you can have what you believe. You can have what you say in faith. And if you don't think you can, just start doing it and you'll find out you can. But a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We don't need to become sin. We need to fill our heart with God's word and operate according to the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And the word of God is full of the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So when we're full of the word and then we're also full of the Holy Ghost, whatever comes down the pike, we're ready for it. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you would be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So the people that led them astray, they got trouble just like they caused trouble, and they still do. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul didn't compromise. So persecution came because he wouldn't compromise. And there are many Christians out there who will not compromise. There are many preachers and pastors who will not compromise. And they suffer loss. People leave. They love the world. When people leave because they love the world, you just got promoted. Because the love of the world can change the dynamic of a church. But a healthy church resists every form of the world, even down to when people leave because they're offended. I'm going to say that again. Some things taste good when you say it. When a healthy church repels darkness, and when it does, darkness is repelled because it's a healthy church, even down to when people leave, when they change their mind and leave. You stayed firm. You stood firm. And they don't get to do the damage that they were going to do. They don't get to become the leaven that Satan wanted them to become. They'll go somewhere else with their foolishness. And, you know, that's why it's good not to be so fast to take people's money. God is not, he doesn't want everybody's money. He want his people's. He want his people to pay tithes. He don't care if a false prophet quit paying tithes. They need to go on with their nasty ways anyway. God don't receive. Abraham didn't receive money from the king of Sodom. He said, you'll say you made me rich. No, nothing but what the men already ate. I lifted my hand to the true and living God. I don't want yours. And I'm the same way. Anybody that donates to this ministry, fine. I welcome it. I need it. But not at the expense of compromise. Because when I speak God's word, I spare no feelings. I don't spare my own feelings, so I'm not going to spare yours either. But I love you. I know God's word will help you. But I can't tell you that you'll be all right in your sin. It's dangerous. Verse 12. I wish, or I would, that they were even cut off which trouble you. See, that's the heart of it. But he wished the people who caused that trouble was cut off. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the way you fulfill the law. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what it's all about. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would do. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are what I call the no-nos. Now I'm out of time.